Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits. MCH releases COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its inpatient COVID numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Tuesday. 41 total COVID patients in-house. Medical surgery non-critical, 28 COVID patients. 25 unvaccinated, 3 unknown. Critical care, 13 COVID patients, 10 on ventilators. 12 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated. Of the 10 COVID patients on ventilators, 9 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated. Age ranges of COVID patients, 5 years old to 91 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include 1 from Crane, 2 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Hugo, Oklahoma, 1 from Ladonia, 2 from Lovington, New Mexico, 2 from Midland, and 1 from Seminole. Rain Beer X Event. Museum of the Southwest, 1705 West Missouri Avenue, Midland, has scheduled a Rain Beer X event from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. today. The tickets include the Pat Green Concert, beverage tasting, heavy hors d'oeuvres, and an open bar. To purchase tickets for more information, call 432-683-2882. Zach Williams' I Don't Want Christmas to End Tour. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788 in Midland, will present Zach Williams' I Don't Want Christmas to End Tour at 7:30 p.m. today. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For tickets or more information, visit wagnernoel.com. String Quartet Performance. Permian Basin String Quartet is scheduled to perform from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Thursday at the Petroleum Museum, 1500 I-20 in Midland. The Permian Basin String Quartet is the resident quartet of the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale and is comprised of the principal string players of the orchestra. Drinks and desserts will be provided. Admission is free. Art Talk. Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4904 East University Boulevard, has scheduled an Art Talk event at 6 p.m. Thursday. Discuss about the selected work from the Ellen Noel Art Museum's permanent collection of artwork. For more information, call 432-550-9696. Town Hall Event. State Representative Brooks Landgraf has scheduled a town hall from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Thursday at Poor Daddy's Barbecue, 123 North Mulberry Street in Kermit. During the event, Landgraf will discuss the 2021 legislative session. Active Shooter, Getting Out Alive. Sunset Heights Baptist Church, 2401 West 16th Street, has scheduled Active Shooter, Getting Out Alive, from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Thursday. Pre-registration is required for this event. The event is free and open to the public. JLO Horse-Drawn Carriage Rides. The Junior League of Odessa will once again be hosting horse-drawn carriage rides through Shiloh and Emerald Forest, a press release stated. This will be the fourth year JLO has offered carriage rides to the community. This year, there will be 6 different evenings of rides. Each ride is about 20 minutes long. The event will be held on Thursday through Friday and December 14th through the 16th. The rides begin each evening at 6:30 p.m. and the last ride will be at 8:50 p.m. Available carriages have seating for 4, 6, and 12 people. Tickets are now on sale for the community. All of the proceeds raised from the ticket sales will benefit JLO. Food trucks will also be available on site. For more information, call 432-332-0095. Vinyl Brunch to Raise Funds for Andrew's Band by OA News at oaoi.com. Odessa Arts Endless Horizons and Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center continues Vinyl's Brunch from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Sunday. Endless Horizons will be spinning sounds of the season vinyl records alongside their pop-up shop with vinyl records and record players available for purchase, a news release said. This month, a portion of the proceeds from purchases at Endless Horizons pop-up show and any donations to Odessa Arts booth will be donated to the Andrews High School Band. Vinyl Brunch is held on the second Sunday each month inside Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Brunch reservations may be made at Beryl and Derek by calling 432-580-5805 or find a spot in the lobby to enjoy the tunes. Endless Horizons has an eclectic mix of vinyl records that most everyone can enjoy, the release said. Winners announced for 2021 Parade of Lights by OA Life at oaoa.com. The winners of the 2021 Parade of Lights are as follows. Mayor's Award, First Place, American Eagle, and Bennett Motor Express. Commercial Business, First Place, American Eagle, and Bennett Motor Express. Second, Uno Hotshots Services Corps. Third, Hip Hop and Letos. Community Organization Nonprofits Awards. First Place, Spirit Club of OC Tex. Second, West Texas Junior Falcons. Third, Odessa Lighting. Schools, First Place, Odessa High School Football. Second Place, Ector County Independent School District. And Third Place, St. Mary's Central Catholic School. Individual and Family Award, First Place, the Munoz Family. Awards and prizes will be presented to all winners at the first Odessa City Council meeting in January. Odessa College Fall 2021 Commencement Ceremonies Set by OA News at oaoa.com. Odessa College will have its fall commencement ceremonies Friday and Saturday at the OC Sports Center Main Gym. Friday's ceremony is scheduled for 6 p.m. and 150-plus students are expected to walk, including graduates from the Bachelor of Applied Arts and Science program, the School of Business and Industry, and the Texas Certificate of High School Equivalency. Saturday's graduation is set for 10 a.m. with 150-plus graduates from the School of Liberal Arts and Education and the School of Health Sciences. Family members and friends will be allowed to attend their OC graduate ceremony in person for the first time since the COVID pandemic began in 2019, a news release said. Odessa High Senior selected for Quest Bridge Match Full Scholarship by OA News at oaoa.com. In a few short months, Odessa High School senior Rigoberto Mendoza will become the first in his family to attend college. He says he may major in biology or he may go to pre-med track. He adds he has always been interested in pathology, the study of diseases. Whatever he decides to pursue, he will do it at one of his dream schools, Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, with a full scholarship thanks to the QuestBridge National College Match. The day that the match day came, I was very overwhelmed because this is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, Mendoza said in a news release. I found out about QuestBridge through a fellow classmate of mine that matched 2 years ago, Mendoza explained. I got really impressed with getting a full ride through this program for low-income students. The QuestBridge National College Match is a national program that connects high-achieving high school seniors from low-income backgrounds with a full 4-year scholarship to top colleges. Out of more than 16,500 applicants this year, QuestBridge, 45 college partners, matched with 1,674 finalists who are recognized as Match Scholarship recipients. The Match Scholarship is worth more than $200,000 and includes tuition and fees, room and board, books and supplies, and travel expenses. It does not require parental contributions or student loans. According to the QuestBridge release, this year's outstanding high school seniors have an average unweighted GPA of 3.93, and 92% are in the top 10% of their graduating class. Financially, 95% come from a household with an annual income under $65,000, and 87% qualify for free or reduced price school meals. The majority of these new QuestBridge scholars, 81%, are among the first generations in their families to attend a 4-year college in the United States. The rigorous application process allows the student to rank up to 12 colleges. Mendoza described it as stressful and nerve-wracking right up until he received the incredible news of his selection. I am so happy that I got chosen as a match to Emory, he said, because it gives a representation to Odessa and especially OHS. The students here can go far. Mendoza is now the second Odessa High School student to be matched through QuestBridge. The classmate Mendoza mentioned earlier in the story is Evan Haley, who in 2019 was matched with Princeton. Local News Roundup. Teen charged with attempting to run over father. A teenager was arrested after he reportedly assaulted his father with a fork and a vehicle. Esley Valenzuela, 18, was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a second-degree felony. The report assault happened around 4:56 p.m. December 5th in the 1400 block of West 6th Street, an Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit stated. When officers arrived at the resident, they spoke with residents who said their son, Valenzuela, had begun arguing when his father returned home and was intoxicated. The father was identified in an OPD report as 47-year-old Abram Valenzuela. The argument reportedly continued as they went out into the front where Esley Valenzuela hit his father and scratched him on the back with a fork. The affidavit detailed that Valenzuela grabbed the keys to a vehicle, a black 2017 Ford Edge, and entered the vehicle. Valenzuela drove the vehicle through the front yard, attempting to hit his father with the vehicle. Valenzuela drove out into the street on North Kelly Avenue and turned the car around and drove back into the front yard at his father, who had stepped onto the front porch that was made of concrete, the affidavit stated. Valenzuela struck the concrete front porch with the front bumper of the vehicle and then backed the vehicle into North Kelly Avenue and drove west on 6th Street. Valenzuela reportedly arrived as officers were on scene. Valenzuela stepped out of the vehicle and was detained in handcuffs. Valenzuela was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on December 5th. Jail records show he has one bond totaling $30,000 and was still in custody as of Tuesday afternoon. Woman charged with colliding into traffic light while intoxicated. A 26-year-old woman was arrested after she reportedly collided with the traffic light while intoxicated, and it hospitalized her and two other people. Abril Marquez was charged with intoxication assault with a vehicle causing serious bodily injury, a third-degree felony. The reported collision happened at 12:57 a.m. November 27th near the intersection of University Boulevard and Grandview Avenue, an Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit stated. Officers reportedly learned a white Dodge Avenger left the roadway and collided with a traffic light, which caused it to fall into the street. Officers found the driver of the vehicle to be unconscious and still in the driver's seat, the affidavit stated. The driver was identified as Marquez. The front seat passenger was identified as 25-year-old Tamia Hayes, while the back seat passenger was identified as 28-year-old Angel Sosa. Marquez and Haynes were reportedly transported to Medical Center Hospital with suspected life-threatening injuries. Sosa was also transported to MCH with suspected minor injuries. Officers reported they smelled alcohol coming from Marquez, the affidavit stated. Officers were unable to speak to Marquez due to her being unconscious. Medical records were reportedly obtained, which showed Marquez had an ethanol level of 0.24. Marquez was booked into Ector County Law Enforcement Center on December 5th, jail records show. She had one bond totaling $15,000 and posted bail on December 6th. Man charged with stealing tape, pushing dollar store manager. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed a 38-year-old man was arrested after he stole Gorilla tape and pushed a dollar store manager. Chase Taylor Cook was charged with robbery, a second-degree felony. The reported incident happened at 3:10 p.m. December 5th at the dollar store located at 102 East 52nd Street, the affidavit stated. Dispatch reportedly told officers that the man was wearing a brown shirt, black pants, and carrying a bag. The man was later identified as Cook. Officers found him walking in the 5400 block of Highway 385, the affidavit detailed. Officers made contact with Cook, and he gave them consent to search his person. Cook was carrying a white plastic Buffalo Wild Wings sack filled with numerous items, including Gorilla tape. Officers reportedly made contact with the victim manager of the Dollar General, identified as Cheryl Hedgepeth. She stated she saw Cook enter Dollar General with an almost empty white plastic sack. When Cook exited the store and passed all points of sale, Hedgepath noticed Cook's bag was completely full. Hedgepath reportedly confronted Cook about the merchandise and attempted to retrieve the stolen property. Cook grabbed Hedgepath by her left shoulder and began pushing her. This led to Cook leaving abrasions on Hedgepath and tearing her shirt. While on scene, officers reviewed surveillance cameras of Cook entering Dollar General with a white bag. Cook walks down shelves filled with store merchandise and places a roll of Gorilla tape into the bag. Cook walks to the cashier and pays only for the candy in an attempt to hide the Gorilla tape. Cook passes all points of sale and leaves the store. Cook was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on December 5th. Jail records show. He has one bond totaling $25,000 and was still in custody as of Tuesday afternoon. Man charged with assaulting girlfriend. A 22-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly assaulted his girlfriend for the third time in the past 12 months. Jacob Fabian Rios was charged with continuous violence against the family violence, a third-degree felony. He was also charged with failure to identify a fugitive with intent to give false information, a Class A misdemeanor, and going off bond for assault causing bodily injury, a Class A misdemeanor. On August 14th, the Odessa Police Department was dispatched to the 8,000 block of Brownstone Road in reference to an active disturbance, a probable cause affidavit stated. Officers reportedly made contact with L. Lopez, a home occupant and victim to this incident. Lopez stated that prior to the officer's arrival, she and her boyfriend Rios had an argument which escalated to her being pushed against a wall, causing her injury as well as her property being thrown around by Rios. Lopez stated she was able to push Rios out of the residence and lock the door while she called 911. Rios wasn't reportedly at the scene when officers arrived, but video was captured by Lopez supporting Rios making threats and demands to be allowed back into the home. In the video, Lopez tells Rios she wasn't allowing him back in as this was the last time. Lopez had bodily injury in the form of a scratch to her left hand from the fight with Rios. A review of OPD contacts with Lopez and Rios reportedly showed two prior incidents of family violence in the last 12 months where Lopez had requested OPD's assistance after being assaulted. The cases dated March 12th and December 30th, 2020. Rios was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on December 4th. Jail records show he had three bonds totaling $27,500 and posted bail on December 6th. MCH reports most employees are vaccinated by OA News at OAOA.com. A recent pause in the CMS vaccine mandate has given healthcare facilities across the country time to make sure employees understand their options. Medical Center Hospital CEO and President Russell Tippin is keeping a close eye on the challenges to the mandate. The recent pause in the CMS vaccine mandate gives more opportunities and time for the healthcare facility, including ours, to educate staff on their options, whether it's by vaccination or through the exemption waivers, Tippin said. We continued to be cautious of the situation, knowing that this pause in the mandate could be overturned just as quick as it was implemented. We are impressed with our staff, leaders, and board of directors for quickly following the protocols of the mandate guidelines and for always being flexible as this mandate goes through litigation. Indeed, the Department of Health and Human Services has filed an appeal in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. The legal maneuvers follow President Joe Biden's order that all health care workers in facilities that accepted Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement be fully vaccinated by January 4, 2022. Since that time, NCH has accepted waivers requests from employees. The waivers must go through a committee to be approved. As of Tuesday, MCH reports 1,770 vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and or at least one dose, which is about 89% of staff, with 168 waivers granted. About 60 employees are unvaccinated and haven't filed waivers. MCH employs roughly 2,000 people. Last week, MCH reported that at ProCare, clinic providers, hospitalists, intensivists, anesthesiists, etc., there are about 300 employees that 99% are vaccinated. Death notices. Patsy Ruth Jeffers Brown, Gastonia, North Carolina. Patsy Ruth Jeffers Brown, 92, of Gastonia, North Carolina, died Thursday, December 2, 2021, in Gastonia, North Carolina. Graveside service is scheduled for 2 p.m. December 10th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens of Odessa. Mary Sue Ann Burton, Odessa. Mary Sue Ann Burton, 3 months old, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 5th, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. December 11th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens of Odessa. Carlos H. Huerta, Odessa. Carlos H. Huerta, 65, of Odessa, died Friday, December 3rd, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. on Thursday, December 9th at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Burial will follow at the Peaceful Garden section of Ector County Cemetery. The family will receive friends for visitation on Wednesday, December 8th from 11 to 9 p.m. with the rosary at 7 p.m. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Oscar Maldonado, Odessa. Oscar Maldonado, 72, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 5th, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. December 9th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens. Juanita Joy Golson Zant, Odessa. Juanita Joy Golson Zant, 90, of Odessa, died Monday, December 6th, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. December 10th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens of Odessa. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Cholestipol for long-term use? Dear Dr. Roach, my gastrologist has prescribed cholestipol for irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea. It is working great with only one dose a day. He prescribed two doses, but I could not tolerate the constipation. Is this medicine okay for long-term use? Should I continue my cholesterol meds with it? After years of trial and error, we have found something that works. Answer. Cholestipol is used in treating high cholesterol. It works by binding with the bile acids and low-density lipoprotein cholesterol. It is moderately effective for treating cholesterol and is considered very safe. A dose-limiting side effect for many people is the constipation. Your gastrologist is taking advantage of this to treat your irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea. I approve completely. It's a less well-known treatment, but in the right situation is both safe and effective, especially at the lower dose. Some people need much higher dosage for effectiveness. The doctor who prescribes your other cholesterol medicine should definitely check your levels. It's possible you may need less of whatever other medication you are taking. Since statins are much better proven to reduce the risk of heart attack and stroke, I would be loath to entirely stop a statin in a person taking cholestipol or similar drugs such as cholestyramine. Finally, although cholestipol lowers LDL cholesterol, it can raise triglycerides, so that may need keeping an eye on.
This is the Dear Abby column. Husband's little secret revealed after 30 years. Dear Abby, I have been with my husband for 41 years, married for 30, but we lived together for 5 years before we tied the knot. I have just learned he has a son who is 2 months younger than our son. The mother is a woman he slept with while I was pregnant with our first child. She put the baby up for adoption, and the young man has just reached out to my daughter. My husband claims he didn't find out about the child until after he was relinquished, and he didn't believe the woman ever really gave birth. I am devastated. I feel like my entire marriage to him has been a lie. He says after we were married 31 years ago, he never cheated on me, and I should move past it. What do you think I should do? Signed, Unable to Let It Go. Dear Unable, you have my sympathy. I agree with your husband that you need to move past this, but that doesn't mean you should forget it. Solid marriages are based on trust, and yours has understandably been shattered. If his behavior since your wedding has been as exemplary as he claims, you should be able to review his financial records and see where the marital assets have been going. He should also be willing to discuss this in the office of a licensed marriage and family therapist. If he is unwilling to do this, it is another red flag, and you should consider consulting a lawyer. Dear Abby, I've been Christian all my life. When I married my husband 22 years ago, he was too. We raised our kids in the same faith. Well, he has recently decided he will no longer practice Christianity. I never would have married someone outside my faith. How do I continue in this marriage? Signed, Faithful in Oregon. Dear Faithful, I am sure this has been upsetting for you, and you have my sympathy. I would hope that your husband's recent change of mind is something you have discussed with him, because he may have his reasons for it. Because of your own deep religious beliefs, this may be something to discuss with your religious advisor. Some couples in these circumstances adopt a live-and-let-live attitude, which means you follow your Christian path and allow your husband to follow his. Dear Abby, my sister-in-law emailed me Christmas lists for my niece and nephew. Abby, I didn't ask for them, nor did I request gift ideas for her children. In fact, I haven't seen my sister-in-law in more than 6 months. Of course, I will be giving gifts to both my nephew and niece, but I think it was awfully presumptuous of her just to send a link via email. How can I respond to this in the future? Should I just let it go? Am I wrong in thinking that it was poor etiquette on her part? Signed, Dumbfounded in Florida. Dear Dumbfounded, your sister-in-law may have been trying to be helpful, but I agree that what she did was presumptuous. Handle it by sending gifts of your own choosing to your niece and nephew. If you receive any more links of that nature in the future, do the same thing. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.